child was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you formed. Faith commanded and the mountains moved. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Chains undone, sin defeated, Jesus is overcome. Mercy triumphed when the third day dawned. Darkness was denied when the stone was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Amen. Let's give God a hand this morning. Before you take your seat, turn to someone next to you and say good morning. If they happen to be a father, tell them Happy Father's Day. Would you guys stand as we continue to worship?
In your presence, Lord,
place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Fortune lies beyond the stars, those dazzling heights too vast to climb. I got so high to fall so far, but I found heaven as love swept low. My heart beating, my soul breathing, I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, Spirit soaring, I touched the sky when my knees hit the ground. This gift of freedom gold can't buy. I bought the world and sold my heart. You traded heaven to have me again. My heart beating, my soul breathing. Your love is devoted, like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain, beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing that your praise will ever be all mine. ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. You father the orphan. Your kindness makes us full. You shoulder our weakness as grace restores the soul. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing that your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. You will be praised.
Thank you for this time of worship, God. We thank you for your presence in this place. We pray, God, that you would be with us through this service, God, that we would open our hearts, God, open our minds to receive the message. We ask that you'd speak through Randy, that you would, whatever he says, Lord, that it would pierce our hearts and draw us closer to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning again. Those images that you just came, I went to Google and just Googled prayer, just the word prayer. Hundreds of images came up like that in photographs. I thought that was pretty neat also. By the way, that wasn't God on the phone a while ago. Don't want anybody to make the distinction that I have that kind of connections. I don't. That was actually Larry over there. He just helped me to make it prove a point. A couple of months ago, when I decided to share a message with everybody, I had no idea what it was going to be about. Had no subject in mind, and I just said, God, why don't you lead me? And we'll see what happens. And that's what's happened. And here's how it all came about. On May 7th, I was reading USA Today online, and I read an article that talked about the National Day of Prayer in the United States, how it came about and everything. And the article began by sharing stories of pastors that would visit with people in the hospital. They would go in, and they'd talk to them. They'd ask them, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Some says yes, would love for you to. Some of them say no. One pastor had a beautiful saying that I'll share with you. It says, every now and then there's a miracle that you get to see. Sometimes it's that you're healed here on earth, and sometimes the miracle is that God takes you home to be with him. I thought that was a wonderful way to put that, because we've all seen that. A lot of times we will pray for things, and we have a specific idea of what we want the results to be, and God has a little different plan going on. Well, as I continue to read the article took a turn into a viewpoint that actually began to bother me. And as I read further, it angered me. It said that anyone who engaged in any type of prayer or religious activity or chants would see some degree of improvement because of the psychological hope that came along with that. Does that bother anybody else? That writer of that article would try to discredit the power of God and what the power of prayer would do? Well, I knew right then I was going to discredit that guy. And I'm not even going to mention his name because I don't even want to get anybody to know about him. So what I did, 3 days later, I was reading USA Today online, and an article came up by the hand of God. So I got to reading that. And here's what it's about. A little girl, 14 years old, named Taylor Hale. A friend of theirs came over to her house. She's in front of her own house, and this guy has his car. He's probably 16 years old. And her and a friend of him, he was getting ready to leave. So they just hopped up on the hood of it. You know how kids like to do things like that. And he thought, well, I'm just going to be funny. He puts it in reverse and accelerates and slide them off. Well, one little girl hit right on her feet, but for whatever reason, we don't know, Taylor hit her head on the asphalt, banged her head really hard, lost consciousness. She was rushed to the hospital, and the doctors told her parents that their daughter had suffered a traumatic brain injury. She spent the next 7 days in a medically induced coma, hoping that her brain would heal. But even then, her prospects were pretty bleak. On September the 17th, the comatose teen suffered a brain hemorrhage that resulted in her brain partially sliding into her spinal canal. Medically, when that happens, they normally call that the point of no return. It's considered irreversible and almost always fatal. Taylor's doctors told her parents that their child was now brain dead. And it was time for them to start thinking about donating her organs and making funeral arrangements. 14 years old now. During the middle part of the day, a friend came by the hospital. They had told the parents that morning. His name was Jeff Stickle. He was a chiropractor and a devout Christian. He came by the hospital that afternoon, and he told him, he said he felt that God was calling him to do something, and to come and pray for them and pray for Taylor. Taylor's parents said, sure, you know, but well, doctors have already told us, you know. So they gathered around Taylor, And Stickle put his hand on her, the back of her neck, and he prayed that God might spare her life. And when they were finished, he left. Later on that day, the doctors were planning on taking her off of life support. So as they unplugged her, her parents was standing there by her bed, emotionally and mentally preparing for her to flatline and die. Instead of flatlining, she began to breathe. When that happened, the doctors put her back on life support. That little glimmer of hope there. Within the next several hours, Taylor showed improvement. Her brain activity picked up, her eyelids began to flutter, and for the first time in a week, she was trying to talk. Three years later, we have a photo of her here. She attended her senior prom. And 3 weeks ago, she walked across the stage and graduated high school. Can you think of a better story to discredit this whole thing of hope and the psychology that, you know, this was God? Like the article said, this was by the hand of God that this little girl is now to the point of leading a normal life. Prayer has been around a long time, a very long time. I'm going to share a little story with you, and I'm going to share the scripture with you, but I'm going to tell it like it's a story. I love to tell stories. It's 1 Kings chapter 18, 22 to 39. It's about Elijah. A long time ago, God's people turned away from him. They started worshiping the false god of Baal. It came down to where Elijah was the only prophet left. Baal had 450 prophets. So God's people was turning over and going to Baal because there's 450 people over here, and there's just old Elijah over here. So Elijah was concerned that so much of God's people was turning away from him. So God gave him a little idea, so he ran with it. So he, in front of all the God's people, he said, let's do a little contest if you want to. You guys, we're going to put together an altar. And you 450 prophets of Baal, put your sacrifice. We're going to have two bulls. You pick out whichever one you want. Put it on your altar, and then you call on Baal to light the sacrifice for you. That's pretty simple. That's a simple task for God, for your God. So they did that. They set the day. All the people said, this is good. That's a pretty good contest. So they go out there, and the 450 prophets, they get the bull, they cut it up and all this other stuff, and they put it on the altar. So then they start dancing around and calling to Baal, Baal, light the fire, do all this other stuff. I love Elijah. He's standing back over here. After they'd done this for several hours, it was about to get lunchtime. Elijah said, I tell you what, maybe you need to shout louder. Shout louder at him. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's in deep thought. Maybe he's busy. You know, he could be traveling. Shout louder. So they did. They're jumping. They're dancing around. They're ripping their clothing. They're cutting themselves into bleeding, which was part of their ritual and everything. And old Elijah's sitting over there, hey, you haven't woke them up yet. Better keep it up. And they're just dancing until they're exhausted. And he said, you know what, guys? I think you all have had plenty of time. Came his time. So he took 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. He built an altar. He put the wood on it. He put the bull on it. Then he dug this really big trench all the way around the altar that he had built. A deep trench, almost like a moat. And after he had done that, he said, I tell you what, go get 4 large jars of water. Now, you know, the jars they had back then were great old big things. I don't know how many gallons they had. He said, go get 4 jars of water and pour all over that. So they did that. He said, go get 4 more and pour it all over it. And they did. And Elijah said, you know what, let's do it one more time. So 12 large jars of water was poured on that. It ran off the wood, the bull, the stones. It had filled the trench up. I mean, it was like a moat then because it had so much water in it. Then Elijah stepped back and he prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God of Israel and I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you is Lord our God and will turn their hearts back again. Well, lo and behold, fire came from heaven, hit that altar. It started catching on fire. It burned up the bull. It burned up the wood. It consumed the stones. And the water that was in those trenches were just flashing up like they were gasoline. They didn't have gasoline back then. But, I mean, it was, you know, they said the fire licked up from the water. That's a pretty good prayer. And you got to love Elijah's confidence in all that, too, you know. So there's a lot of power in prayer. What is prayer? The dictionary says it is a spiritual communion with God. I didn't know how to process that, so I dug a little deeper. I was looking for a little better definition. So I Googled it. I love Google. I Googled the word prayer. I got over 282 million possible links. That's a little more research than I was wanting to do. And I thought, let's narrow this down. So I Googled how to pray, and it worked. I only had 156 million links to go through then. Well, then I Googled the power of prayer, and that narrowed it down even further, 86 million links to go to. So how much time do you all have today? I don't think we'll get a chance to go through all that. But, you know, with that type of reference and those many links to go to, prayer must be pretty important to a whole lot of people. What is prayer? Prayer is an intimate conversation with God. I use the term intimate because that means it's a heart-to-heart, a very private conversation with your Heavenly Father, who already knows everything about you. I use the word conversation because it describes just plain talk. Nothing fancy, nothing eloquent, just plain words and simple talk. That's all it has to be. Prayer is also our greatest Christian privilege. Even though it's our greatest Christian privilege, it's probably our greatest Christian failure. Because, let's face it, we don't pray enough. We don't pray for what we should. We don't pray like we think we should. We pray for things we don't need. Sometimes we have questions, and this unquestions kind of makes us uncertain, so we just don't do anything. I recently had a conversation with somebody. It's really absolutely wonderful how God has led people into my life to talk to and everything whenever this became the subject that I wanted to go over. This person told me that they found themselves in a really terrible place in life. They was in a dark place. They was at the bottom of the barrel. They had nowhere else to go. They had sinned. They had broken the law. They were in a place they did not want to be. They told me they wanted to reach out to God, and they didn't know how. Inside, I was a little astonished by that. And I asked him, I said, what do you mean you don't know how, or you didn't know how? He said, All I did was just walk backwards and forwards in pace and kept reciting the only Bible verse I could remember. And I was hoping that was prayer. I was hoping that was going to do what I needed to. Well, I'm going to share with you today, this person has changed their life. They've turned their life around. They know how to pray. They're a very godly person now. But it was great that God put him in my life to tell me that there are people out there that don't know how to pray, so that we can kind of talk about this a little bit. Why pray? God knows everything about us. I don't know about you, that's a little scary though, isn't it? God knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows what you've done. He knows where you've been. He knows what's in your heart. And that scares me. Why should I pray to him? Well, it's pretty simple. The Bible tells us to. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I found that in some translations of the Bible, and there are several different translations, but some of them talks about prayer or mentions praying 650 times in the Bible. Sounds like a pretty important subject, doesn't it? 650 times. God wants us to pray, to talk to him, because he can invite him into every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. That Bible verse tells us in every situation. It shouldn't always be just the major ones like jobs, marriages, major purchases, how to handle in-laws, difficult co-workers, spouses, children. All of this should be shared and ask the direction of God. I'm going to share with you real quick a story about my pickup and how I come about to have it. I drive a white Dodge pickup down here. It's a 2007 model. Some of you are aware of the fact that we have a volunteer service team here at the church that I'm part of. And we do a lot of things to help people in the families of God, and some of those out in the community, and some people who don't even know God, just wherever God directs us. And I had a pickup. It was a 2002. It's completely paid for. I kind of like not having any payments. I was going home from work one day. I looked and over here, this beautiful white Dodge pickup, four-wheel drive, got a big brush guard on the front of it. But my pickup's paid for. I really didn't want another payment. But what has happened is a couple times when I would be pulling the church trailer, and I had loaded with people's furniture, and I'm trying to back this thing up into a place that I just can't hardly get it to. That's two-wheel drive was spinning. Some of you been with me, you know that it just can't get there. The pickup also had a little 4.7-liter engine, which sometimes it was kind of hard pulling some of this furniture and things around. So this would have the Hemi engine in it. It was four-wheel drive. And did I mention it has a real nice shiny brush guard in front of it? Well, I stopped and looked at it, and I just standing out there looking at it, and a salesman come out. And I asked him the price, and he told me, oh, hey, great, thank you, I got to run. It was way much more than what I wanted to put into a vehicle that's already several years old. Sit out here, sit on a corner. I'm driving to and from work every day, and man, that thing is sitting right there. Like, it got to the point to where I'm driving down through there, and I do like this. I can still hear it. Take me home. So I went back by, or I called, and talked to the lot manager. He called me, and he said, Randy, I understand you stopped by and looked at this Dodge pickup out here. What do you think? I said, man, it's a beautiful truck. I really like that brush guard in the front. He said, why don't you come on out and drive it? I said, no, thank you. He said, why? I go, well, if I drive it, it's going to tell me to take it home. I want to make sure the price is right. And what I had done, I'd done a little bit of research of what my truck was worth and what that truck was worth and what I could trade in and all this other. And I want this much for my pickup. And I only want to pay this much here because I didn't have a payment. I didn't want another payment. But I thought, well, I can handle that one. So I had all these numbers fixed. So I asked him, I said, what can we do? And he said, what do you drive? And I told him and everything. He said, okay, well, I'll give you this much for that pickup, and you pay me that much. I said, hey, listen, I appreciate the phone call and everything, but good luck with selling that thing. It's a beautiful truck. Well, it went on two more weeks. And that truck is really pretty. And it was sitting out there. I just knew for sure it was going to be gone. And I said, God, you know I like that truck. I really like that brush guard in the front of it. I don't really need it. But if I can take this truck and do your work, make it so. Whatever you do, lead. Well, two more weeks went by, and that truck's still sitting out there, and I'm thinking, doggone, I wish somebody would buy that thing and get it out of my sight. The lot manager called me again. He said, Randy, where do you think we need to be on this truck? I said, well, you need to try a little harder. He said, why don't you come on out here and drive it? I said, no, I done told you why I don't drive them. He said, well, just come on out here. Let's talk. I want to take a better look at your truck. So that afternoon, I stopped by out there, and he took my truck, and I did take that other truck for a ride. And it just screamed, take me home, take me home, take me home. I turned the radio up real loud so I wouldn't hear it. It came through the radio, take me home. Well, when I got back, the lot manager had looked at my truck, and he said, Randy, I tell you what, I'll give you this much for your truck, and you pay me this much. And guess what that was? That's exactly what I had fixed in my mind. I said, thank you, God, I love that brush guard. But let me tell you what happened. Last year, by use of that truck, we helped 27 families in a 12-month period. Moving stuff, hauling supplies, all this other stuff. Me and that truck has run all over the place. And you should go out there and look how shiny that brush guard is. I keep it clean. So God was part of that decision. And I've shared this story with a couple. And, Larry Van Hughes called me up the other day and said, you're not going to believe this, Randy. You're not going to believe this. We talk about putting God into our lives a whole lot. So Larry told me a story of his own. He said, I was really wanting to get a Blu-ray DVD player. Is that right, Larry? Blu-ray? So he said, they're running $80. He said, man, I don't want to pay $80 for that. So he kind of prayed. He said, God, I'd like to have a Blu-ray DVD player, but I just really don't want to put $80 into it. I kind of think that's too much and everything. He said, if you think I need one, just help me out. He gets a looking on the Galax yard sale page. There is a Blu-ray DVD player. But it had been on there for a long time, so he is afraid that it was gone. So he called, and a woman answered. You're not going to believe this. That woman and her husband turned out to be someone that needed his and my prayers. They have a 17-year-old son that had a skateboarding accident. And he also hit his head and was in a coma. And we haven't got an update on him recently, but those people had contacted me previously about needing a wheelchair ramp to get into their home because if they bring him home from Winston from the hospital, they have no way or access to get him into the home. So they still had the Blu-ray player. They had pawned it, and Larry went and got it for a much cheaper price than what he had been looking at. And he got the chance to know the people and to pray for them and let them know that we're praying for them. Now, do you think we could have arranged anything like that? This is just two examples of how we invite God into our lives and how he takes what we ask for And if it's His will, we take that and do well or do good for others. How should we pray? Is it best that we pray standing up, sitting down, kneeling, bowing? Should our hands be open, closed, lifted up to God? Do our eyes need to be closed, or should they be looking up towards the heaven? Is it better to pray in a church building or out in nature? Are there certain words we need to use to say in our prayers? How do we begin them? How do we close them? These are just some of the questions that come up about prayer. And they're common questions about prayer if you ask somebody who's not doing that or praying a lot. What is the proper way to pray? Or do any of these things have any relevance at all? Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, kind of as a guideline, but not a template. That's not the way we should pray every time, but it's just a guideline of how to, our Father who art in heaven. We address Him as our Father, a loving Father who we're having a conversation with. And you just shouldn't say the Lord's Prayer as reciting the words like you would be something and without really, truly, and fully thinking about the words and what you're saying and how you're saying it and things. That would be a really great subject for one of our first Sunday services when we try to do a little bit of teaching and we go into things in depth, is taking the Lord's Prayer and each little segment of it. It has a meaning, but it has a much deeper meaning behind it and what it's trying to tell us. So we may try to do that sometime. But here's what we should pray, how we should pray. Pray with honesty and sincerity. Why would you not want to be honest? God knows everything about you. You know, we could lie to ourselves. A lot of us do it all the time. I did it this morning. I looked in the mirror and I said, "You're a good-looking man, Randy." Cheryl says, "Who are you talking to?" But we can lie to ourselves all the time, but you can't lie to God. And yet we try it all the time. We should express our love and our gratitude, and we should worship to God with prayer without worrying about, are we saying the right words? God is more interested in the content of our heart than than fancy words. He wants us to pour our heart out, be honest and open, because we've got to remember He knows everything about us already. Far too often, prayer is viewed like it's a magic formula. Some believe that if you don't say the exact right things or you don't pray in the right position, that God won't hear you or answer your prayers. That is completely unbiblical. God does not answer our prayers based on how we pray, where we pray, the position of our body, or the words that we use in our prayers. What should we pray for? That's pretty simple. Forgiveness, because we're all sinners. Direction, because if it's left up to us, we're going to go the wrong direction most of the time. Strength, regardless of how strong you are, you're still weak. And His will, which I think is kind of the most important. God has His will for us. Now, a lot of times we'll say, you know, God, I need you to do this for me. And we'll go on. And it may not be His will. And then if it don't happen the way, doggone it, that's not what I asked for. Weren't you listening? We need to pray for forgiveness, direction, strength, and most important, His will. Because He knows what's best for us, and He knows what we need for much better than we know for ourselves. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, 14 through 15. To have confidence when we come to God in prayer, knowing He hears us and will grant whatever we ask as long as it is His will. His will. We just need to ask that His will be first and foremost. We are to present our request to God, expressing our love, gratitude, and worship, and not worried about the words, because God is much more interested in the content of our hearts. When should we pray? Should we pray in the morning when we first get up? How about at night before we go to bed? Anything wrong with praying while you're driving? How about while taking a nature walk? Sitting at your desk at work? Sunrise is always good. Sunset's pretty good. The answer is yes. There is only one time that you should pray. Pay attention. There's only one time you should pray. And that's any time you want God to be close to you in your life. God is always close to us. We've all seen that poem, Footprints, and we've seen the beautiful picture on the beach of the footprints and stuff like that. God's always right close to us, is right behind us, but he's looking for us to invite him into our lives. He'll be there with you. He'll be a part of your life if you'll ask him. And we so often forget. Have you ever heard of a 911 call? How about a 911 prayer? I got the privilege to work with a young man this week on a wheelchair ramp. This young man's gone through quite a bit in his life. And he shared that with me. He found himself in a bad place one time. And he had been raised a little bit religious. He was Catholic, and that's a little different. And he said the only time he ever prayed was a 911 prayer. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I said, oh, God, I've done it again. I need your help. If you'll help me out of this, if you'll help me out of this situation, I will never, ever, ever do that again until the next time. And that's what he did. He kept getting himself in trouble. And that's the only time he would pray, when he was in trouble and couldn't get out. That's the only time he'd look up and ask God, hey, I need some help. I've done it again. That's a 911 prayer. Do any of you have any special times that you like to pray? Just holler them out. Oh, this is the bunch that don't pray. What's that? Before bed? I have trouble with that one. I said, dear Lord, heaven, I just want to thank you. Before we eat? Any other time? All the time. There we go. I do that a lot. I call it a windshield prayer. Driving to and from work. Or you got to drive on a long distance, just make sure you turn that radio off. You know, one of the things that we don't do a whole lot of time is when we pray, we're so busy talking, we don't listen. That's been probably one of my biggest problems as a Christian. I'm a big talker, but I just don't listen well. I got a trick to that. I say, God, I'm asking that you give me a little direction here. And listen. When you speak to me, be clear. Don't make me try to figure it out. I'm not very good at that. I'm hard-headed. I try to figure out things on my own. I need you to tell me exactly what it is you want me to do, when you want to do it, and if I get it out, it'll slap me around a little bit, so I am going in the right direction. Because I've done that. I've asked for some direction. And I figure out what I think is the best thing to do, and I'll take off and everything, and it's the wrong thing. And I think back, you know what? I think God was telling me to go that other direction now that I think about it. I mean, he did a while ago. I was sitting back here in the back and everything. I said, and I was just saying a little prayer for this message. I said, God, help me to be calm. Help me to deliver a message and be calm and be at peace. He said, why don't you quit drinking that caffeinated coffee then? So that's the reason I quit. I went back and got decaffeinated coffee then, so I wouldn't be all jacked up here. But we've got to talk to God as He's a friend, as a loving Father. What should we expect from prayer? Should it be what we ask for? We'd like for it to be, but it's not always that way. Here's what we can expect from prayer. You can expect the best care from the God who loves you. I don't know how you could ask anything more than that. He knows everything about us. He knows what we need. He knows where we're weak. He knows what scares us, what we're frightened of. Our weaknesses, our strengths, He knows those. It's just like whenever you're going through Walmart and you've got your kids or your grandkids and everything. They want everything on that shelf. But you don't always give them everything they ask for. Because you're trying to teach them something. You're trying to teach them some values. And you know they don't need all that. That's what God does with us. We just need to trust Him. He's going to give us the best care because He loves us. Now, as the worship team comes back up, I want to invite this to you. If you're here today and you don't know how to pray, or you haven't been praying correctly, or you want some help with prayer, come up to the cross, come up here to the front or whatever. Just kneel down and have a conversation with the best friend that you'll ever have, okay? Invite God into your life. He knows what your problems are. He knows what you're struggling with right now. He knows what your fears. He knows what your hang-ups are. He knows where you're at in life. Just come up and invite God into your life in plain, simple talk. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray that this message has touched all of us in this room, that conversation with You should always be open and be personal, and we should pray and trust You to guide our lives. Lord, everyone in this room has fears and struggles and are going through different things in their lives. Just go with each one of us as we go home and out in the communities and just be a part of our lives and help us in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would you guys stand with us as we close this morning?
Stars, those dazzling heights too vast to climb. I got so high to fall so far, but I found heaven as love swept low. My heart beating, my soul breathing. When I laid it down, upward falling, Spirit soaring, I touched the sky with my knees hit the ground. I touch the sky. when my knees hit the ground. Oh, I lay it at your feet, Lord. I am at your feet again. Everything I am, reaching out, I surrender.
We thank you for this time of worship, God. We thank you for your word, how it speaks to us, Lord, how it guides us. We ask, God, as we go through this week, you'd help us to remember to pray, God. Help us to be in conversation with you. We don't have to use special words. We don't have to be in a special place, God. We praise you, God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.